If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, MEAC fans. It's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the ME action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 130 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have a really fun episode in store today, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. It's good to be back. It's another fun episode we have planned. I know we just recently, your dynasty ranks were updated, and then mine are almost done. You know, if you're listening this Monday, hopefully they're live tomorrow on Fantrax. You can get them early on our Patreon, though. So, you know, average and OBP dynasty ranks out. Obviously, a big undertaking at this point of the season. A lot of
shifts, and you know, you always want to update like every day. It's like you see something, you're like, crap, I need to adjust that. And it's like, oh, nope. And it's so hard. It's just so, you get so nitpicky, but we're going to be here to break it all down, and it's going to be a good episode. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Get nitpicky. Like, I did the same, this, especially like at the top. Like I was trying to put 15 guys into my top 10, and it's like, that's not going to work. You can't put that many in the top 10, but it's like, they all deserve to be, I think, but you know, someone has to get the bump. And then especially for me, I get down to like that last 100, or even like the last like 50 of my 500. And I was like, a bunch of guys that I think, like, all right, they deserve to be in the 500. Then I get to bump somebody out. Yeah. It's definitely a whole ordeal, but we love it. It is a labor of love, but it's a fun one. That's for sure. And we're going to go through it all, go through our, some risers, followers, just general discussion about the rankings, maybe some player debates, you know, a lot of fun stuff. Nice little hodgepodge of dynasty rankings discussion today. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us and our YouTube channel. And of course, check out all the other great work we have going on by the entire team over at Fantrax HQ. Not only like the baseball team, obviously, which Chris and I are a part of, is phenomenal. We got a great football team, basketball, college football. We have a NASCAR and hockey writers. It's a great team all around, all the sports. So we got going on over there. So check that out. Let's get into this week's episode. Let's just get right into it here. I don't know. Where do you want to start, Chris? You want to go over like the top of the rankings, get into risers and fallers? What do you want to start with?
Yeah, let's just hit the top of the rankings and see. Just curious where we differ for average and OBP. So that would be a good talk for sure.
All right. So I've already tinkered, but I'm not going to include those tinkers right now. I just moved like Harper down a couple spots because he just got hurt. But so I'll go back to my June list here. So my top 10, again, mine are average, consider OBP. Again, it was so hard at the top because I had Soto 1 last update, which was like early May. And of course, Soto's been kind of having a down year. It doesn't help that he has no lineup around him besides Josh Bell. But so I moved him down a spot. But then again, the guys below him didn't really warrant moving up. So it was kind of hard. So I started with Acuna back to 1, Soto 2, Tatis Jr. 3, Trey Turner 4, Harper 5, Joe Ram 6, Otani 7, Tucker 8, Yordan 9, and Vlad at 10. What's your top 10, Chris?
All right, so I got Acuna at 1, same top 3, actually. So Acuna, Soto, Tatis. I just still think that they're the 3 elite. And, like, regardless of what's going on this year, I mean, all 3 of those have had issues. Obviously, Acuna coming back from injury and being, you know, banged up. He's banged up right now. Soto, obviously, some struggles. And then Tatis hasn't played. And, you know, I'm concerned Tatis doesn't play this year, but that doesn't really change his dynasty value for me long term. But after that, you can kind of go a lot of directions. So yeah. I went Jose Ramirez 4, Julio Rodriguez at 5, followed by Otani, Harper, and Vlad Jr., then Yordan and Trout round out the top 10.
All right, so you have Vlad 1 spot ahead of Yordan. I have Yordan 1 spot ahead of Vlad. And that's – who'd you have at 10?
I had Trout at 10.
Oh, Trout. Okay. Oh, yeah, OBP, absolutely. Yeah, that sparked some debates and discussion on Twitter when I put out there that I was moving Yordan ahead. And, again, that's not a knock against Vlad Jr. in the slightest. Like, he's obviously a generational talent, but you look and – at least for me, I was looking like, all right, their career stats, like, Yordan has him. He's ahead in – average, OBP, slug, ISO, WOBA, like 162 game home run, RBI, run pace, like all of that, he's ahead. So the only real time that you say that Vlad had the advantage was in 2021, and Yordan still had a good season then. I think he had like 33 home runs, like 108 RBIs, hit like 280 or in that ballpark, coming back off that major knee injury. And I know that's the kind of thing that keeps sticking with people, like, oh, the knees, but, you know, go talk to Nick Savali, who's an actual doctor who knows more than about medical stuff than I can even pretend to know. And he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. That's what I'm trying to say. But he's not worried, and I trust Nick wholeheartedly with everything in terms of, you know, all these injuries and whatnot. So he's not worried. But, again, we have him this one spot apart either way around. I won't fault anybody for having Vlad. I really don't. But, yeah, it's really hard. Like you mentioned, I definitely still think that top 3 is the top 3. You know, like I said, there's been injury issues, performance issues. But, again, none of the guys below, like Joe Ram, if Joe Ram was like 3-4 years younger, He'll be 30 in like a month and a half or whatever. If Joe Ryan was like 26, 27, I think he might be number one right now. Yeah, I mean, he definitely have a strong case for it. You know, Harper obviously is right there too. Obviously, he just got hurt again. You know, screw you, Blake Snell. And then, you know, Ohtani is really obviously league and format dependent, but he has a case for number one. And you get the big bashers. I got Tucker at eight. I love Tucker, but it's just so hard. Like 4 to 17 or some massive cluster for me. So wouldn't have any fault in anybody putting, you know, like I said, you have J-Rod at five. Mm-hmm. I wanted to put J-Rod top 10. So, and I, at one point I did, I think I had him at 9 at one point, but then I was like looking at the guys right below him, which would have been Vlad, Yordan, and then Rafael Devers. I'm like, man, they don't warrant to be bumped out yet. They've been killing it this year too. So it's so hard. I was really getting angry with myself because I was like, I can't figure this out. It was just frustrating. Yeah. But then again, there's worse things to be frustrated about than making fantasy baseball dynasty rankings. But all right, next 10. For me, I got Devers at 11, J-Rod at 12, Bichette dropped from 4 to 13. Just kind of having a mass season. I still love Bichette. So I think he's, you know, phenomenal talent, but kind of having a mass season. And then so he's at 13, Bobby Witt Jr. 14, Luis Robert 15, and then 16 through 20. Mike Trout, Corbin Burns, Aaron Judge, who just keeps hitting dingers every damn day. Wander Franco at 19 and Mookie Betts at 20. Let's go 25. And then 21 through 25, Manny Machado, Shane McClanahan, Jazz Chisholm Jr., Garrett Cole, and Pete Alonso. Who's the rest of your top 25, Chris?
Yeah, and you mentioned, I think the tier two arguably goes all the way down to 19 for me. And
it's huge, dude. Yeah. Like,
so you could argue, like, you can, people get bent out of shape, but you can argue that, like, you could put any of these guys as high as 4 or 19, like anywhere in this range. But yep, you'll see my 19th, and I'll explain why. But 11 is Trey Turner, followed by Kyle Tucker, Aaron Judge. Like, you could make an argument Aaron Judge is top 5. Like, he's been ridiculous. Absolutely. Devers right after him. You know, again, insane. Luis Robert, still believe in the talent. Manny Machado, who's injured, but still, you know, he's been killing it this year at 16. Mookie Betts at 17, Bobby Witt Jr. at 18, and Bo Bichette at 19. So, like, that's tough to drop Bichette like that far, but that just shows kind of where the talent is right now, and that it's a tier. So that, I have no pitchers until 20, and that's Corbin Burns. And then Wander Franco at 21, Shane McClanahan 22, Pete Alonso 23, Byron Buxton 24, and Garrett Cole 25. So there's some, that's kind of the pitcher tier there, and the really clear top three, in my opinion, for Dynasty.
Yeah, no, same here. And you had Buxton 24, huh?
That was a tough decision.
I knew for me. So for reference, I have him at 33. Last episode, I had him 26, and this is like, and I put that like funny tweet out where like his like rolling value is just like this massive like up and down, up and down, up and down. So he'll dominate, look like the best player in baseball for like 3 weeks, and he gets hurt or he goes in like a prolonged slump. He's always so hard to rank. Like on talent alone, he'd be another guy to be top 10 probably or close to it, but you got all the other things you got to factor in with him, and yeah, he's super hard to rank. So I don't know, like I can never get a good, you know, good gauge on where I want to rank him. But yeah, 24, I have no issues with that. Again, like this is kind of another big tier, you know, 23 to like 40 probably or so. Yeah. But yeah, he's tough.
Yeah, you could argue Buxton as low as 50, I think, and
yep,
be okay. So that's a really tough spot to be.
Yeah, so we have the same top three pitchers here. So, yeah, I had Burns 17. You had him 20. I have McClanahan 22. You also have him 22. Yep. And then I had Garrett Cole 24. You had him 25. So we have the same top three pitchers. Who are, let's just finish the top 10 dynasty pitchers here. Who are the rest of your top 10 after Burns, McClanahan, and Cole?
All right, so that would leave Sandy Alcantara at 4, at 5, Dylan Cease at 6. I'd say Aaron Nola's been so quietly underrated this year. He's been so good.
I put out that tweet the other day. Like, I was looking at like the last 30 day stats for pitchers. He had like one walk in his last seven starts or something ridiculous. Like, well, last 37 and a third, like one walk. It's just insane.
Like, he's been steadily improving every year with like K minus BB, like walking less, striking out more. And like people thought that he was just a bad pitcher. Like, I don't know. He's still 5 for me. But anyway, Cease is at 6, Woodruff at 7, Buehler at 8. Man, that was tough to leave Buehler that high, but I did. Right. Manoah at 9 and Joe Musgrove at 10.
Yeah, so I'm really quick pulling up the qualified pitchers this year, which there are 63 of them. the K minus walk rate leaders. Aaron Nolan has to be top five. Yeah, he's third. So McClanahan's first by actually a solid margin, 30.3%. I guess this is K minus walk rate, 30.3%. Burns is two at 26.7, Nola three at 25.7, and then Cole at 25.2, Cease at 22.9, Rodon, Severino, Wheeler, Gaussman, and Nasty Nestor at number 10, then Skubal, Fried, Bieber, Verlander, Montas. So, yeah, Nola is so underrated, but same thing for me. It was almost like the top 10 pitching ranks for Dynasty. I had the same kind of thought process as the top, you know, 20 for overall Dynasty. It's like, there's a clear-cut top three right now for me of that, or the number one tier of Burns, McClanahan, Cole. Then it's just like, again, there's like a massive cluster where I wouldn't have any issue if anybody ranked them differently. So after Cole was at, who's 24 overall, I go down to Sandy Alcantara as my four, and then I back-to-back Manoa at five at 31 overall, Musgrove at 32 overall is my number six, Bieber seven, Woodruff eight, Urias nine, and Walker Buehler at 10. And for reference, Buehler is at 39 overall. So this is like, so 4 through 10 is 13 spots in my overall rankings. And really 1 through 10 is 23 spots, 17 to 39. So it's a big cluster there. I have Cease as my number 11. That's my number 12. He's in another massive cluster with Wheeler, Nola, and DeGrom. I said I probably should have moved Noah up more. It's just a massive cluster for me. Cease is one, and we have him on the list to talk about. Cease, obviously, in terms of just pure talent, is probably top five. Like we've talked about the whiff rates, the strikeout rates, all of that, chase rates. He's nasty, right? But then again, like I was looking at the other day, he had like a, over the last month, he had like a 2.5-ish ERA, but like a 1.7 whip. I don't know how you do that. Without like you're playing with fire right there. If you're almost giving up two base runners per inning, but somehow only have a 2.5 ERA, he's one where I want to put him higher, but then I just look at some of the other, you know, the walk rates and, you know, the whip, like I said, I think he was on pace for the highest whip for a sub three ERA season in about 100 years. All those is kind of like keep holding me back a little bit. Again, the talent is absolutely there, but I don't know. I'm just really hesitant to go like top five on him. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, he's tough. Obviously, the numbers have been there, but you bring up a lot of good points here. And he did pitch today, faced the Orioles. So, you know, it's hard to say a whole lot, but he went 7, struck out 13. Well, that's what you like to see, one earned run. So, good start. Still had a 1-2-3 whip in that start, which is.
Yeah, see. He even throws a gem and his whip is still 1.23, which isn't terrible, but you figured for a start like that, you'd have a whip under one at least.
Sorry, that was misquoted. That's the season. That was the season line after that. So that was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he walked one and had 4 hits and 7. So it'd been okay, sub one. Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, he'll go out and have like another like high, like 1.8 whip his next start. I don't know. It's like.
Yeah,
I want to see just a little more consistency from him. And yeah, he's fifth in K minus walk rate. If you look at, he's at 34.3% K rate, which is second in baseball behind McClanahan, of course. But he has the highest walk rate of this list by a mile. He's 11.4% walk rate. Everyone else inside the top 25, the next highest walk rate is 8.7% for Carlos Rodon. So he's nearly 3 full percentage points ahead of the next highest walk rate in this top 25. So it's just, I don't know. I that just gives me a little bit of hesitation.
Yeah, I get that. His May wasn't the best. He had a 3.98 ERA in May, still struck out 48 in 31 innings. So obviously elite, but he's allowed a lot of base runners. The whip was 1.3 in May. This month has been rather dominant, 0.33 ERA. That's just pretty silly. And but still has a 1.21 whip over that span. The good news is his last two starts, at least, and you know, I mentioned the Orioles start, but it was the Blue Jays before that, so a good team. Against the Jays, he went 6, no earned runs, 1 hit and 2 walks, 11 Ks. So, you know, only 3 walks over his last 13 innings, and go back another start and only had 1 walk in it. So that's also been so really the last 4 starts have been solid. He had a 7 walk outing, you know, against the Rays to start June, which was pretty killer. Just 1 hit allowed, but 7 walks. That's brutal. I mean, that'll really blow up the whip there. But, yeah, I mean, maybe I think you're going to have some inconsistencies. I still think that you know, that's just who he is. But obviously he's made some major strides. I think you're going to have those times where the walk rate ticks up pretty significantly, but you're also going to have those moments where he just looks like an ace, like he has the last several starts. So, you know, he is tough to rank for Dynasty, but he's still young, which certainly gives him a boost. 26 years old, and he's, you know, with how he's looked, you know, I think he's definitely top 10. I'm six, so, you know, close to top five, but it would be tough for him to crack the top five, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking at another thing here, like you look at difference between strikeout rate and then K's per nine. Like I said, he's second to McClanahan in K's strikeout rate by 35.3 to 34.3, but for K per nine, 13.14 to 12.06 for McClanahan. But the reason why McClanahan's still a better K guy is because he gives up less base runners, so he's facing less batters. That's why his K rate's higher than Dylan Cease's. So that's why I don't even use K per nine anymore. I don't think it's great. I definitely for a K percentage, but yeah, so that's the our top 10 arms here. Let's get some risers and followers here. Let's start with some. We always get the bat out of the way first, so let's start with some followers here. Start on the hitting side of things, and we'll start with three outfielders here: Cedric Mullins, Nick Castellanos, and Tyler O'Neill. Let's start with Castellanos. I think we've been talking about him a little bit off and on, and I think we're both kind of surprised to see him go to a hitter's park. Good, you know, lineup that was supposed to mash. And for the most part, they have. You know, Harper's having a great season. Schwarber's been hitting dongs. But Castellanos has just been not good at all. He hasn't been terrible, but just very, you know, very underperforming where we thought he would be. Let's say that. So in his first 306 plate appearances, slashing 249, 304, 384, only 7 home runs, 37 RBI, 30 runs, and a trio of steals. Look at the StatCast metrics and...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
They're just as bad. Like, there's nothing, you know, you don't look like, all right, he's underperforming. There's a lot of, you know, great metrics here. No, the quality of contact is down. Hard hit rate's down almost 10%. Barrel rate's dropped. Average exit velocity is dropped. And these are all, like, under league average at this point. So, I don't know. There's not a lot of signs here that point to, you know, him returning to the Castellanos that we saw in the last couple of years. Like last year when he had 34 home runs, 100 RBI, hit 309. That might be the best we see of him, but I don't know. Where are you at on Castellanos here, Chris?
He's, you know, it's bizarre just to see what's happened. I mean, obviously leaving Great American Small Park was going to be a little bit of a detriment, but he still went to another good park for hitters, in my opinion. Like it's not a huge downgrade. I mean,
no,
I don't know, but it's everything else that concerns me. I mean, he went a good stretch with being, you know, one of the better hitters in baseball, and especially when he got out of Detroit, like the numbers were always there. And once he got out of Detroit, like the numbers just really blossomed. But, you know, he's striking out more. That's going upwards this year. It's still just 23.5%, so it's manageable, but it's not, you know, great. He's been lower than that in recent years. Hard hit rate is okay. I mean, it's still sub 40%, which, you know, in the past he's been at 46 the last 2 years at least. And you mentioned the average exit velocity is down, you know, almost over a mile and a half, which is pretty significant there. So I don't know. You just have to wonder, like, the profile is interesting to me, and I'm just wondering, like, can he rebound? And I think he can. I mean, it's not like he's old and just like washed up by any means. We're talking about a hitter who had his career best year last year, and now just really struggling. And honestly, like the Phillies lineup in general just hasn't been great. But I'm struggling to really pinpoint like what the issue is. Like his home run to fly ball rate's, you know, down significantly from 22.5% last year to 9.5% this year. But overall, everything else is very similar. Contact rates and O swing, like all this stuff looks pretty similar overall. So I don't know. I'm struggling what to make of him, but the results aren't there. So naturally, like he has to be dropped from for a dynasty standpoint.
Yeah. And see, for me, he dropped from 44 to 69. So I still have faith in him. So, but he's 30 years old now. These metrics aren't great, like we mentioned. He's hitting more ground balls as well, which factors into the, you know, a lot of things. Yeah. He's probably going to drop even more. I need to see something soon from Castellanos, or else I'm gonna drop him even more. Like if he goes another month and a half, like I'm probably gonna do my next update probably late July or so, maybe early August, we'll see. But if he goes another, like, you know, 5 weeks of this level of production, I think he might be outside my top 100 by that point. It'll be a bigger drop next time, because again, it's not like he's 26, so he's gonna be 31. He'll be 31 later in the offseason. But yeah, he's definitely fallen for me. And Tyler O'Neill, too, you know, he's always been a very intriguing but interesting player. Obviously, like, power speed has been there, but he's always, you know, it was almost like the Javier Baez of the outfield, pretty much. And we've seen what Baez has been falling this year, even though he's been on tear over the last week or so. But you look at O'Neill, and he's been dinged up a bit this year, has multiple stints on the IL. Overall, 185 plate appearances, 241, 292, 361 slash. Only four home runs, but has had six steals, which is nice, but that's basically it. Everything else is not great from him. Hard hit rate down. The approach is about the same, but still an issue. He's actually cut the K rate 2%, but hasn't really helped. The barrel rate, though, has been almost cut in half, 17.9 to 9.4%. Average exit velo is down. So what you really expected out of him, that elite power, just has not been there this season. Ground ball rate's up as well. Who would you rather take a chance on buying low right now, Chris? O'Neill or Castellanos?
Probably O'Neill. I mean, just younger and the power speed. Interestingly enough, I mean, his contact rate is the best of his career. His own contact rate is up nearly 5% from last year. Like, I'd say those are pretty noticeable. Really, the biggest difference is his home run to fly ball rate. It's just, like, bizarre because he does have big power. We haven't quite seen it this year, but his home run fly ball rate is not going to stay at 10%. So I do think that really trends upward. He's hitting plenty of fly balls. Like, that's not an issue at all, even though the fly ball rate is down, you know, 6 percentage points from last year. But still, you have to think that home run to fly ball rate does come up. He's probably he wasn't going to sustain a 366 BABIP, in my opinion, from last year. He's running a 319 BABIP right now. I think his average probably settles in closer to 260, but the power speed is still going to be there, in my opinion. Just wonder how much injuries have affected him this year. I know he's kind of been banged up and missed plenty of time, but hopefully he gets back in his rhythm and can really get going. You know, I'm thinking that he'll be fine long term once he gets fully healthy. So I'd rather buy O'Neill at this point.
I would as well. I want to throw this other outfielder into the mix too, Cedric Mullins. And you look at him, obviously coming off the huge 30. You know, he was the biggest value pick of last year. Like, he's one of those guys that was taken, what, outside pick 400 probably? I don't know, way late, and put up a 30-30 year. This year, 254, 307, 378, 6 home runs, 16 steals, 37 runs, and 28 RBI. You know, quality of contact has never been the greatest. Even last year, which was a career best basically across the board with his quality of contact. This year, everything's kind of slightly down. The, you know, K rate's exactly the same, walk rate's down a little bit, but just that power that we kind of hinted at. Chris and I talked about this a few times this offseason. We're like, all right, he probably hit for a good average, which that's why I'm surprised he's only hit 254. I thought he'd still hit like 270, 280. The speed has still been there. He's still on a 30 steal pace, or even more than that. But just the power going down even more than I think we both expected, and then the average as well. I think that's the big thing why I dropped him down from, oh, let's see here. He was 31, now he's 61. And again, same thing as with Castellanos. I need to see something from him, or he's to be, you know, in the 80 to 90 range next update in a month here. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on Mullins, Chris, and kind of lump him in? Would you rather take a shot on him than the other two?
I still think I'd rather have O'Neal at this point. I was already kind of fading Mullins before the year. I thought his value just got a little high. It is encouraging to see him still running, as you mentioned. Like, you're going to get the stolen bases, but without much power, and obviously the batting average is taking a hit as well. Like, he's basically like a worse Tommy Edman at this point. You know, Edman's providing good average and giving you similar power speed, so I'd much rather bank on Edman at this point. I mean, Mullins is rocking a 682 OPS right now. He's just not going to cut it. I mean, yeah, he's going to stay in the lineup, but you have to at least be a little bit concerned. He's just not hitting the ball as hard, and his power was fringe last year, in my opinion, and I didn't think that it was going to sustain 30 home run power, but we're probably looking closer to 12 to 15, I'd guess, which is still a 15-30 player is good, but it's not a top 50 dynasty player, in my opinion, especially if the batting average is not there, and especially the OBP. He's not walking at all. Like, last year was an anomaly of a walk rate for his career at this point. I mean, if he settles in below 6% walk rate, like, he's not a top 100 OBP type guy, in my opinion, and he's kind of moving that direction for me right now. So I'd still rather bank on O'Neal.
I think I'm with you. I don't know. I think obviously they have value in different ways, but I don't know. I'm not sure I'm running out to get either or any of these three, to be honest with you. I think I definitely would rather. I don't know if I have a big, you know, I don't know if I want Mullins or O'Neal. I don't really have a preference there, or at least a strong one. I think I do prefer those two to Castellanos just because of the age at this point, at least for a buy low, I should say. So I don't know, but all three have just been very underperforming this year. We'll go through the other couple of names here quickly. Let's lump these two together because they're both on Kansas City. Salvador Perez and Whit Merrifield. Perez is now out for the rest of the season, unfortunately, and Whit Merrifield is just been kind of mad this season. And he's, how old is he now? Is he 33 now? He is, yeah, 33 and a half years old, and he's another one where I kind of expected him to kind of fall off more this year. Like, he was really helped out by the happy fun ball. Even that, he only hit, what, how many home runs did he have last year? 10 or 11. So seeing him just not impacting the ball at all, he still has 10 steals. He's like a 22-ish steal pace, but only has 275 OBP, which definitely factors into his lower stolen base, you know, production as well. He had 40 steals last year with 10 home runs, hitting 277. He's a guy that every year of his career, 283, 288, 304, 302, 282, 277, and now 227. If you had to pick, are you really looking to invest or buy low in either of these two, given their age, the performance drop for Witt, the injury for Sal? He wasn't even hitting that well. Had some solid power, but he was way down this year. I don't know. Any bright spots here for you and for these two guys?
This is always my fear with this kind of profile, especially with Whit Merrifield, where he's so reliant on the stolen bases for his fantasy value. And when those go, it's just like all value's lost. And yeah, I mean, he has 10, but you also have to factor in that he's had 320 plate appearances. So he's just not running at the rate you want and what you drafted him for, which really hurts, and there's no power. Also, the batting average is down significantly. I mean, 584 OPS we're talking, like, that's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. He's putting plenty of balls into play. It's really interesting what's going on in this profile. He actually is barreling the ball at a higher rate than last season and every season except 2017 and 2020. So you have to wonder if he could be on the rise at least. I mean, his XBA is 280, but I'm just not going out of my way to invest in him right now. I just don't think this is the kind of profile that you invest in Dynasty, unless it's just so cheap that, you know, you just take the shot, because why not? I could see that, but I'm not like running out of my way to go get him right now. Sal, not really either, honestly.
Yeah, so it's Witt's 33 and a half years old now. And Sal is 32, coming off is another major injury, his second major injury here, that the knee injury a few years back. So you got to wonder, you know, catcher getting to his mid-30s here pretty soon, multiple injuries. Yeah, I've always been a big Sal guy. You know, obviously this year I was saying Sal high, but you know, I've always liked Sal, good amount, good player. for a long time now, but I don't know, catcher, that age, that those injuries. Again, his performance was down as well, like I mentioned. Power numbers were solid, but everything else, approach was not great. Never has been, but is even worse this year. Some of the other metrics have gone down as well. Like zone contact was way down to 73.8%. Whiff rate up. Chase rate has always been above 40% every year of his career. That's never been good. So, yeah, not a lot I want to invest in there. Last set here that we'll group together as well. A couple of young angels here. We got some old guys in Kansas City. A couple of young guys out in Los Angeles, or technically out in, well, I'm forgetting the actual town that they're, the city's, the ballpark's in. Chris, help me out here. I'm drawing a blank. Anaheim, thank you. I just couldn't think of Anaheim for some weird reason. But anyway, Joe Adell, Brandon Marsh, really just have not lived up to the hype. Like Brandon Marsh, we'll start there. We've talked about him a little less. We talked about Adell. Marsh just can't curb the strikeout issue. Like he's got 6 home runs, 4 steals. That's, you know, that's kind of nice a little bit. That's like a, I don't know, he's on like a 16, 17 homer, 13, 14 steal pace or whatever. But 34.4% K rate. Last year it was 35. So you're now up to 502 career plate appearances of that K rate near 35%. That's becoming an issue. And he was never, you know, a super high K rate guy in the minors. It was, I think, first he was around 25% for the most part, give or take. But this has become an issue to the point where I'm starting to get very concerned. Yeah, it's still only 500 plate appearances, but couple that with below average, you know, contact metrics, but you know, below average whiff rates, I'm starting to get concerned. And then Joe Adell, same thing. His K rate is just super high with him. He can't make enough contact, can't put the ball in play enough. He's hitting 250 this year, but 216 overall. K rate's 34.5% this year, 3.4% walk rate. I just wonder if the approach is just going to hold these guys back, and they're always going to be kind of underperformers for basically their entire career.
Kind of seems that way, and it's sad. I mean, the early returns were really good. I mean, Adell's spring training was kind of hype, and then Marsh started out the season really hot, but you're right. The approach just isn't going to be able to sustain them at this point, which that's my concern, is just they just strike out way too much to put those tools to use, because they both do. They both have the tools, but both are still young. I'm not ready to completely write them off, but certainly fading at this point and, you know, monitoring closely, because they could just be, you know, pretty irrelevant pretty quickly.
Are either top 200, do you think, Chris? I have them both right around. They're both right around 200 for me. And I think, again, I need to see something soon, or it's going to be a huge drop next update. But where do you have these guys?
I've got Marsh actually around 250, Adell right at 200. Obviously, Marsh has shown a little bit more, but I just still believe in Adell's tool set, you know, a little bit more. So
I'm starting to not want to invest in these guys. Like,
yeah,
we mentioned that the tools are intriguing. Like, you know, Marsh has always had a solid little, you know, like 15 homer, 20 plus steel power speed type of profile coming up through the minors. Adell has the big power, can run a little bit, has had those like flashes of brilliance. Like you referenced spring training this year. So they just do just enough just to keep you intrigued. But at this point, I don't know. We've seen these K rates just wreck hitters' careers. And I think I don't know, I don't want to say these guys are quad A guys at this point, but I think that's kind of creeping into the picture here as a possible outcome for these two, unfortunately. So we're past the half an hour mark, so let's go ahead and hit a quick break here. We'll go back on the other side, get in some pitching followers, and then finish up with some hitting and pitching risers in our rankings. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAction with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
All right, welcome back from the break. We have a trio of pitching followers here. Well, obviously, there's more than just these three, but all the other ones we've kind of talked about recently. So we wanted just to really focus on these three here. We got Jose Berríos from the Blue Jays, Trevor Rogers from the Marlins, and Ian Anderson from Chris's Atlanta Braves. Sarah Barrios, who just got absolutely lit up again today. What was that final line today? 2 2/3, 8 earned runs after a 4-inning, 6 earned run outing before that. Like, I tweeted that. I was kind of like poking fun. It was like, you know, I hope people sold after he was dominating Baltimore and Detroit. Like, he had those two really good starts, or really three starts in a row. Minnesota in there as well. Minnesota's kind of been scuffling offensively this year, too. Where it was like, all right, Barrios is back. Oh, he's back. And I'm like, all right, let's wait till he faces some solid lineups. And he has, and he sucks. So 14 earned runs in his last two starts, which is 6 2/3 innings. And again, the metrics just have not been there. His ERA indicator is actually higher by about a run. Like, his X ERA is 6.21, for example. Actually, that was before this start, and his actual ERA is now up to 5.86, 139 whip, K rate's running 19.5%. You know, whiff rate's down, bail rate's up, all hard hit rate's way up. And I think he's a guy, like, I'll say it again, that was very much overrated. Even when he was, like, good, I think he was still, like, valued much too highly for what he was doing performance-wise, where it was, like, you know, mid to upper 3 ERA and, you know, 23, 24, 25% K rate. And he's going to be valued as, like, a top 20 guy. That's not top 20 stuff. That's, like, 30 to 35 range or something like that, so... I don't know. Do you see any reason to want to buy into Barrios right now, Chris? Because you look at a Savant page, and it's a big load of blue balls. I don't like using the sliders too much, but it's kind of hard to miss those sliders and how bad they are at the top of the page.
Yeah, it's pretty atrocious. Really, I think he was valued so high just because how consistent he was.
Yeah.
Just year over year, I mean, he just produced, and you knew you could count on him for that mid to high threes ERA with decent strikeouts. But in this year, that's just all gone by the wayside completely. I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint what's going wrong. I mean, it's not like he's at a dip in velo.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
None of that stuff, but his four-seam's just been ridiculously bad, and he's throwing it more than he pitched. Like, last year, he used it 26% of the time. Now he's using it nearly 34% of the time. It's got a 356 batting average against, 6 home runs allowed, a 15% whiff rate. Like, there's just nothing good there with it, and he's still using it. The curveball has been okay. That's where the majority of the strikeouts are coming. He's still allowing a lot of home runs. He's just missing pitches, allowing home runs. 5 home runs have come off the curve, but he does have a 176 batting average against and a 33% whiff rate. Other than that, not much is going for him, but I think it just comes down to location. The location on his pitches just has been pretty poor, and he's missing in places where he can't miss. But it's not like I think he can turn it around either, because it just keeps getting worse and worse. And I just wonder if he's in his head at this point, like it's a mental thing, which I really could see at this point when you're pitching this bad. Like, it's just got to be in your head. So, and you mentioned the ERA indicators don't really give me much hope either. He's not striking guys out. I don't even know where to rank him at this point. Like, I don't think he should be in like top 250s, but I'm struggling with like that much of a drop. Like, that's tough, because he was top 100 for me prior.
Yeah, he was top 100 for me too entering the season, but this is nothing. And to take it a little bit further, zone contact rate 89.4%. Whiff rate 20.7%. Both of those are just absolutely terrible. The ground ball rate has been decreased by 8%, down to 43.7 to 35.7. More fly balls, more line drives. Again, like you mentioned, the fastball. It was weird to see him. Last year, his sinker was better than his fastball. Last year, he used a sinker 29.6% of the time, four seamer 26.7%. Sinker was 230 batting average against and a 346 slug. Four seamer was 275 and 538. So much, much higher slug. He's up the, it hasn't been like a huge difference, but up the four seamer 7%. And the sinker has dropped down 5.3%. So, like, that that swing there, kind of odd to see, and it just hasn't worked out. Like you mentioned, the four-seamer has been one of the worst four-seamers in baseball with those metrics. So, yeah, I just don't see. Like, I don't think he ever even gets back to the kind of range of production where he was. And if he's even if he gets back to like a 4.5, I mean, a low to mid four ERA and 22% K rate, like you're talking like, I don't know, Zach Plesac. I don't know. It's just not a lot of encouragement here in the profile. Yeah, he's just dropped. I should have dropped none even more. I probably should have been even more harsh in my rankings. And yeah, unless I see something soon, he's going to take a massive, massive drop in my next update. Other two, Trevor Rogers, Ian Anderson, kind of similar. You know, I was looking at their game by game, you know, performances, and you can't even point to like, oh, there was a blow up here and a blow up there. That's why their ratios are higher. No, Anderson is just like, you know, a lot of four earned runs here, four earned runs there, five there, three in earned runs and four innings there. Same with Rogers. This is a lot of, you know, just bad but not blow up starts. So it's not like you can take that one out and Bubba's ERA drops like a full run. He did have a seven earned run outing, but that was the second start of the year against Philly on the 16th of April. But Rogers, we've just kind of been waiting for him to turn the corner, and it just hasn't been there. We talk about the walk rate still super high. The K rate's dropped way down. You know, whiff rate has dropped a ton as well, which is still okay, 26.6%, but that's dropped. I just don't see a lot. Chase rate's dropped as well. And Anderson, too, like, maybe we just overrated him a bit. In fact, his metrics just keep getting consistently worse. Walk rate's up. K rate's keeps going down. A lot of kind of similar issues to Trevor Rogers. So, I don't know. Which one of these two would you rather have moving forward, Chris? Rogers or Anderson?
I guess Rogers, but particularly neither.
Yeah. Yeah. The answer, none of the above.
Yeah. It's Anderson. I think he just was so dominant consistently in the playoffs. It's like, all right, this is what he can be. Like every playoffs is like he just turns on a different level and he's just dominant. But yet in the regular season, he just can't get it done for some reason. Like he's just average, but I'll say not even average, below average. And this year's no exception to that. I mean, even when he's had good starts, they've just been kind of, you know, meh, like whatever, like nothing right. Flashy or anything. I mean, he had two starts to go against the Cubs. Like it looked really good. He went 6 2/3 and didn't allow an earned run, but he still only struck out six. So it's like never any dominance per se. And then he obviously faced the Dodgers on Friday, which is a tough matchup. And he didn't pitch bad, but he just, you know, that when he finished out the fourth inning, just kind of gave out some steam. He was walking guys and allowed four earned in four innings. So it's just meh. And I just don't really see a whole lot of fantasy relevance at this point. And Rogers too, like Rogers' whip is just horrific. Like, you know, you got to wonder if that can come down and like, where's the strikeouts with Rogers? Like Anderson's at least always been a lower strikeout guy, but like, can Rogers get back to striking guys out? And that's what, I don't know. Like it's bizarre to me to see the regression, like after last year, you know, last year being his 23-year-old season, and this year, just, I don't know. It's tough to really pinpoint anything like bad that's going on in like poor location. The velo is not an issue. The velo is actually up on nearly every one of his pitches, and even the whiff rates are decent. I mean, the whiff rate on the four seam is pretty similar to last year. The changeup is down a little bit, so that is noticeable. The changeup was one of his better pitches last year, and his slider too. Like, I don't know. I'm struggling with both of them. I don't want either of them at this point, honestly.
I don't either. And like I said, if I had to choose one, I don't even know. Like, I don't want either of them. It's just we've gone through the metrics. Nothing is really positive on either one. Even Barry, I don't want part of any of these three right now. If I had to pick one of this trio, gun to head, Rogers, I guess.
But, that would be mine too if I had to.
But it's like, I don't want to. If I had to, I guess Rogers, because obviously all three of these guys are still pretty. Barrios is a few years older, but not like he's old. But I guess Rogers, he's shown, and still a higher care than Anderson. I don't know. I don't want any of these three. So I think this might be a time if you can still get anything of value. Like, I know selling low isn't always ideal, but sometimes it's a viable strategy. Like, buy high, sell low. Sometimes that can work, especially if you think that their value is going to continue to drop, which I think it might with all three of these guys. So you can still get like a top 150 value for any of these three. Yeah, I might hop on that. That's for sure. All right, let's get to some risers here. We'll start on the hitting side of things again. Start off with a couple catchers here. Alejandro Kirk and a little bit of William Contreras as well, but I think we'll focus more so on Kirk. We just went yard again today. Nobody can stop Alejandro Kirk. He's just a man on fire. He's en fuego, whatever term you want to use that applies to Kirk and then some. He's up to a 322, 409, 523 slash line. He's had his 11th home run today, 31 RBI, 35 runs. Obviously, he doesn't steal because he's a little bowling ball, but if you look at the metrics here, man, like so much just good in the metrics. You know, the quality of contact, it won't wow you, but it's good. You know, 10.3% barrel rate, 43.7 hard hit rate. But the approach is so good. He has more walks than strikeouts. You just don't see that very often, especially from a catcher. I think maybe, I don't know, the Mauer maybe had a few seasons, or Buster Posey maybe, but you just don't see that much at all, especially from a catcher. All of his expected stats back it up. He's a 324 XBA, 570 XLUG, so they're even higher than what he's doing right now. Now, whiff rate is only 14.4%. Chase rate 24.3, zone contact 88.6. So just again, across the profile, is just really, really good. I think he's a top five dynasty catcher right now, and he's might be getting up, you know, close to top three at this point. Like, I might be moving him ahead of like Dalton Varsho pretty soon here. You know, Varsho has that little speed element, but Kirk is just such a good hitter, and I don't see any reason to think this won't continue.
I think I want Kirk above. I actually did just move him above Real Muto and Sal Perez at this point.
Yeah, I think he's ahead of Perez.
Yeah. He's 23 years old. Like, can we talk about that? I mean, he's doing this at 23. All the other catchers, for the most part, are significantly older, minus like Varsho. Like, even Wilson Contreras is, what, 30, I think?
Yeah, I was going to say 20. He's around 30. Yeah.
This is exactly who we thought he could be. And we talked about this and we pumped him all offseason. Because the hit tool was so good. We knew there was power in the profile. I mean, he had an average exit velocity last year of 92.3 miles an hour. We knew he could hit for power, and now he's doing it. The approach is impeccable. Like, the approach is insanely good. So, yeah, I mean, I think that Kirk is easily top five catcher. Let's see. With where I just moved him, now all I have ahead of him is, I think, Adley, Will Smith, Varsho, and Wilson Contreras. I think you make an argument above Varsho to it, maybe, but Kirk's top five.
Yeah, I think you make an argument. You can make at least an argument above everybody except the only two that I want are just Adley and Will Smith.
Yes.
I think you can literally at least have a discussion about any other catcher in baseball right now.
Yep. I can see that.
Does he, in your 80th percentile exit velocity, I got a feeling he's got to rank pretty highly.
I'll pull it up and let you know.
Yeah. Kirk, like I said, the quality of contact isn't like superb. He's not like elite, but it's really good. He just always puts, you know, has good at bats, makes good contact. He's just a guy that he's going to have a long, really productive career. Like I said, he's only 23. You mentioned he's only 23 still, yeah. Already showing this type of approach and solid power. I think he's very good for a very long, you know. Maybe I don't know how the body ages as he gets into his 30s, but that's 7 years out. We'll worry about that then. I think we have at least the next half decade to 7-8 years of just high level production where he's probably going to stick around top five ish in that range at this position. Guy that can hit 280. I think 280 is his floor, probably 300, you know, with, you know, 15, 20 home runs and solid counting stats. Like, I think he's going to be a guy that's, you know, he's on pace for about 80 runs and 75 RBI. And he wasn't really playing full time until, you know, May. So another 80 RBI type of guy with just really good four category guy. So yeah. So where you got that up yet?
Yeah. He surprisingly doesn't rank that well. In 90th, he ranks 86th, which is interesting.
Yeah, 86th percentile or 86th? Sorry,
86th overall among all hitters. Yeah. And then in 80th percentile, he's a little better there. He ranks 52nd. But that's also that also doesn't include, I haven't updated it in about a week. And he's been pretty good over the last week, hadn't he? So
he'll probably
he's had
up a little bit. Yeah,
he's had one. He's had four home runs since I updated it. So I'll update it and let the people know where he is after that.
Okay, but one guy I know is high on that 80th percentile because you wrote about him. Another catcher, William Contreras. So you know, as a Braves fan, Chris, you have to be really impressed with what Contreras has done so far. The power has been very, very good. You know, K-rate's a little bit high, but he's still walking at a pretty solid clip as well. Do you think, you know, maybe not top five, but do you think he could be maybe a top 10 fantasy catcher? What do you think?
Yeah, if he just gets everyday playing time, I think the path is definitely there. So we're still talking about a player that has just 128 plate appearances right now. He's just, I mean, DR knows the catcher, and that's the biggest issue. He's just not playing consistent enough, but, you know, it's okay because when he plays, he's been good. And he slowed down a little bit as of recent, but still, it's still been a really solid season for him. You know, tonight he is playing. He has two walks, actually, in three plate appearances. So you see kind of a solid approach all around, I think. And he hits the ball extremely hard, too. He hits it to all fields well. I think that with the chance at every day at bats, I think that we can see him. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've seen the batting average at least trend downward some. Just not playing consistently enough. And I think if he plays every day, that we could see that really tick upward. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not this year, but I do think that the profile is there for a top 10 catcher long-term.
Yeah, I think so too. Like that, even with the slowdown, he still has an ISO above 300. And like I said, you know, solid walk rate. You mentioned he's two walks tonight. That's very encouraging. Good, you know, great quality of contact. 16.5% barrel rate is very good. 48.1% hard hit rate. 580 X slug, 503 X Wobicon, a lot of good in that profile. So maybe he's more like a 250 guy, but he gets enough playing time. It could be 250 with 20 plus, you know, maybe 25 home runs. Definitely has the power for it. And you saw them trying to get him in the lineup, put him in the outfield a little bit. Like they want that bat in the lineup. I think that's been very apparent. So hopefully they can do so. But yeah, Dayar Noe's been pretty good as well. So yeah, he definitely has warranted his playing time too. So. All right, moving over to, actually, I think the rest of the hitters are all, yeah, we don't have any outfielders on the list. That's weird. But again, there's more risers. We still want to talk about guys we talked about recently. So I try to talk some new names here. So the rest of this hitting risers list are all infielders. Starting with, let's go over to Jeremy Pena here, who just came back off the IL today on Sunday. I think he had a base knock today as well, and RBIs too. He's been, obviously, the, you know, the IL stint was a bummer. He was really very well. Obviously, he wasn't the huge name coming into the year. Obviously, Witt, J-Rod, who have been very good as well, have been really garnering a lot of the attention. You know, Mackenzie Gore, too. But Pena has just had quietly a very solid year. You look at his stats, and he's on a, you know, not almost a 30-20 pace. Like, he has 215 plate appearances, 9 home runs, 6 steals. You put that at 650 plate appearance pace, it's about 27-18. With a 277, 332, 472 slash line, 195 ISO, you know, so the metrics again don't jump off the page at you, but they're all just solid to, you know, above average across the board. You get that, you know, good sprint speeds in a great home ballpark. Looks like he's gonna be, you know, entrenched as their shortstop here for the foreseeable future. So, you know, maybe I hate to say the next Lindor because that is very, very high praise, but it kind of reminds me of Lindor in the fact that, you know, the number, the metrics are never wow you on Savant, but the overall production does. And the metrics, I'm not saying they're bad for with Lindor, they're still solid, but it's good park. He's in a great park for him. Yeah, I think he could be a guy that might sneak into the top 10 shortstop annually. What do you think? Is that too high? Or
no, I mean, I don't think so. He's, you know, shortstop's obviously deep, but he's moved up pretty significantly for me. I have him at 66 overall. So that puts him in a pretty good range of shortstops and a lot of talent, obviously, at the position. But I think he's legit. I mean, we're still talking about a young 24-year-old guy who's just getting the chance and he's producing. And, you know, he's added strength over the last couple of years when people thought he didn't have power. He's got a good feel to hit. So I certainly believe that he can be a top 15 type guy. The power speed's there. Stay healthy and just produce, man. Like, I think it's certainly in the profile here. And, you know, it's it certainly eased the Astros' pain of losing Correa.
Absolutely. And I went back too. I forget where I said it, but I found maybe it was on here. Yes, I tweeted about it after I made this claim on here that Pena would have a better season than Correa. And Correa has heated up a bunch lately, but I think Pena was having a better season until he got hurt, and I think he's still good. I think I'd rather have Pena than Correa right now in Dynasty. Would you as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think you make an argument for it. They're close. I mean, I have Correa ahead in my Dynasty ranks, but it's not far off at this point. And you know, Pena, certainly the sprint speed and the stolen bases help that value some too that Correa doesn't have.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think, yeah, I think they definitely are in the same ballpark here. I think I even have them within probably 10 spots or so in my rankings. But I do think that, you know, while Correa, I think, can, you know, maintain and stay in the range where I have him, I think that Pena's just going to go up. So that's why, you know, if I had to invest, whether, you know, somewhere in my rankings now, I just see that changing. Like next year, like by this time next year, I could see Pena being a good 50 spots ahead of Correa. Like Correa around 100, Pena in like the 40 to 50 range. I could really see that. The other three infielders we have here, Christopher Morel, the kind of darling, came out of nowhere this year. I mean, maybe not out of nowhere, but definitely a great surprise, that's for sure. Tommy Edman and Gleyber Torres. I guess let's start with Morel here, who has always had a nice little power speed line on the minors. And he slowed down a little bit of late and does have some red flags in the profile. But you look at 5 home runs and 7 steals and 171 plate appearances, multi-position eligibility. We can play some second, some third, some short, some center field as well. Maybe he's never a great average guy. Like, he doesn't have, you know, the greatest approach. He does have a little bit of a higher K rate right now, 29.5%. You know, zone contact currently sits at 71.4. So that is a good amount below average, higher whiff rate. He's always been a bit aggressive, but just that nice little power speed line. I think maybe he's a 250 guy with, you know, 18 to 20 home runs and, you know, a little bit more than that in steals, 22, 24 steals, something like that. So I think that's a top 100 profile. I haven't put him there yet, but I think he has that upside.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy. I don't know how he slipped through the cracks as much as he did and then just came out of, really feels like he came out of nowhere this year. The whiff rate and the K rate is a little concerning to me. So I wonder, like, how sustainable his approach is. Like, will that hurt him long term? And it's possible. But as you mentioned, the power speed element is certainly there. And it's been fun to watch his ascent up rankings. So I don't know. I'm struggling. Like, he's one of the ones I've struggled most of where to rank, but you can't deny what he's done. And he's certainly a huge riser. Like, he's in my top 200. Like, I can say that confidently.
Yeah. I think I put him around like 160 ish in that range. Yeah. I think there's more room to move up. More room to move up. And then I think there's some room to move down too. If that approach kind of hinders him a bit, he might move down a little bit. But yeah, I think he's definitely top 200 right now. That's for sure. The other two names here, obviously not younger, you know, a little bit older. Gleyber's only 25. How is he only 25? So that's ridiculous. And Edman, I thought Edman was a little bit older. He's only 27. So, but still a little bit older than Morel. But both of them, Edman didn't really have, you know, a down year coming into this year, but there's a lot of people that were down on him. You know, he's never a guy that's had the metrics that wow you either. And Gleyber just kind of hasn't really come close to matching that great year he had back in, 2019, when he had that 38 home run year, including like 37 of those against Baltimore. But so this year, real quick, let's kind of pair these two together. In 323 plate appearances, that has to be one of the league leaders. That's a lot of plate appearances. For Edman, 269, 342, 400 slash line, 7 home runs, 31 RBIs. Here are the two big numbers that really boosted his value. 17 steals. So he's on like about a 36, 37 steal pace and 55 runs scored. So he might be pushing like 121s and pretty damn good St. Louis lineup. You know, he's got Goldie and Arenado behind him. So let me say Gleyber stats here. Gleyber is up to 250, 302, 487, 13 home runs, 32 RBI, 4 steals, and 33 runs scored. You know, his quality of contact metrics are back up to even better. Like, these are career best numbers for him by a decent margin, even better than 2019. So I guess which one of these performances are you more believer in between Edman and Gleyber, Chris? And which one would you rather invest in right now in Dynasty?
Well, I have Edman ranked higher right now. Obviously, the speed element's been huge for him. Gleyber is interesting. He's hitting the ball by far the hardest of his career. significantly higher than any point we've seen, but he's like selling out for fly balls, which is interesting. His fly ball rate is 51.4%. You know, previous high was his rookie season at 42%. Last year was just 36%. So that's been interesting to see. The ground balls have obviously gone down in return, not hitting many line drives, but naturally you're going to see some more home runs. And Gleyber has been hitting well to all fields too, which has been cool to see. He's not just getting that poolside power. There's pretty consistent power in the profile. So it's good to see his return. Edmund, obviously, as you mentioned, not going to be as much of a power source as Gleyber, but the stolen bases totally make up for that. And he's a much better source of OBP, which factors into my rankings too. So
yep.
Both profiles have been cool to see rise up, but I'd just rather have Edmund right now for the speed, because you're not sacrificing power with him to get those stolen bases, which is pretty huge.
Yeah, I tend to agree, because, you know, while Gleyber obviously has the power advantage, I think Edmund has a bigger speed advantage than Gleyber does a power advantage. And the fact that Edmund is hitting high in that St. Louis lineup, getting a ton of runs, he is nearly 55 runs to Gleyber's 33, and they basically have the same amount of RBI. So more run production, or more run scored, I should say, a lot more steals. I definitely love that value. But Gleyber, he's one that I've always been a bit harsh on. I didn't believe fully in that breakout year he had, and I've kind of been very sour on him just because of the metrics. And I think that was warranted. I'm not saying my being down on him was wrong. I think it was definitely warranted, but he's definitely turned the page. Like, you look at the metrics, and he's definitely, you know, improved, and I had to move him back up, but he's not top 100 for me. Where did I put him? 118, but he was 194 before that, so he was almost on my top 200. So definitely warranted the jump back up, but I don't think he's top 100 still. Like, the average is still kind of meh. OBP is meh. Doesn't run that much. It's a solid little power source, but what's the difference between him and, like, a, I don't know, Ryan Mountcastle? I think they're actually pretty similar at this point in time, and I don't have Mountcastle top 100 either, and I haven't really ever thought about him as a top 100 guy. So, you know, top 150, top 130, definitely, but, you know, not top 100, that's for sure. All right. Was that it for hitters? Yes, it was. All right. Let's go over to pitchers here. We got, you know, 6-7 names here. Obviously, we're already a little bit long. We're already at the hour mark, so we won't go super deep into these guys. But, you know, we got Luis Severino, Shane McClanahan, Jeffrey Springs, Dylan Cease, Tony Gonsolin, Spencer Strider, and Christian Javier, who just had a majestic performance. Magnificent. I almost said magnificent first, but yeah, the no hitter going through seven. Obviously, they pulled up because of 115 pitches, but they were able to close it out against the Yankees, which is, you know, always a little bit sweeter for me being a Red Sox fan. But yeah, this is a lot of good names here. So I guess, I don't know. Who do you want to talk about, Chris?
Well, I got to say, Spencer Strider just threw a gem tonight against the Dodgers, which is pretty notable. I mean, he went 6. Did, yeah. No earned runs, no walks, which is pretty significant. 5 hits and 7 Ks. So that's obviously huge from him.
That mustache power, baby. The power of the stash.
He's ridiculous, man. I mean, he throws the fastball so often, but he just pumps it by everybody. I mean, it's ridiculous how well it performs in the slider's elite pitch. You've mentioned the changeup before. So Strider is worth noting.
Do you have his game feed up? Sorry, do you have his game, the game feed up? Yep. What was the usage on the changeup tonight?
6%. He threw it 6 times.
I want him to throw it more. Like, obviously, it's a small sample size, but the whiff rate's pretty solid. So I just want to see him, like, even like 12-15%. Just in that range, I think that'd be a lot happier.
Take the four seam usage down. I mean, threw the four seamer 64 times to 25 sliders and 6 changeups. Like, just use the four seam less and mix in the changeup a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, the changeup's a really good pitch, but I don't know. I have no clue what he's doing, but it's working. So he's one, like, he bumped way up for me. And I, like, this start just helped solidify that. I was kind of nervous about where I put him at was in the 130 range. I have to find him, but I was kind of nervous, like, that was high, but he just keeps getting the job done.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's hard to argue against what Strider's done. So yeah, he's been impressive. Cease, we already kind of hit on a little bit earlier, where he's just, I think worthy of easily top 10. Springs is the one that I struggle with. And we've talked about this a little bit off air, like, who is Jeffrey Springs? And I can't say with confidence that I know. Like, he just keeps getting the job done, but he's like 29, kind of, you know, I won't say like pop out of nowhere type guy, but hey, he's been so good. You can't argue against the results that he's getting. But it's still like, I just wonder like how long the success can continue. His last two starts at least have been meh, even though strikeouts have been there. His last two starts against the Orioles and the Pirates of all teams, he's gone 10 1/3 with 7 earned runs between them. Now, he did strike out 9 Pirates the other day in 6 innings, which was encouraging. But I just wonder, like, if he's going to trend downward soon? I don't know. But for now, like, he's producing, and you can't really argue against what he's doing with the strikeout and walk rate, both really good. So I struggle. Like, he's one of the hardest ones to rank right now, in my opinion.
Oh, he definitely is. And, you know, I put that poll out from our show account here between Strider and Ian Anderson. And Strider won, I think, pretty handily. I want to say it was probably around 2/3 to 1/3. And there was, you know, some comments saying, oh, it's recency bias. And, yeah, maybe that factored in a little bit. But you look at what about Anderson makes you want to take him over Strider at this point? You know, Anderson's, you know, more established. Sure, he's had the postseason success. That's great. But Strider just watch a Strider start and watch Ian Anderson start. And I'm way more impressed with Strider. You mentioned how he, you know, dominated the Dodgers today. He's got the good stuff, the elite fastball. The slider is one of the best in baseball already. Changeup has the potential to be a pretty solid pitch if he uses it more. Yeah, I'm definitely bumping him up a ton. Where did I bump him up to now that we're talking about it? Yeah, I have him at 173, and Anderson was down to 198. So he's already 25 spots ahead, and I think that gap is going to keep growing. Do I see him top 100 by end of the year? Probably not, but 125 to 140 range. I think he can get up into that range for sure. Name I want to talk about the most out of this group. Obviously, we already know McClanahan is a stud. He's arguably, you know, you can make a case that he's number one for Dynasty. Now, I still have Burns slightly ahead, but I think it's almost like 1A, 1B at this point. And another, was it 7 innings, 1 run, 9 Ks today against, I guess, Pittsburgh, yes. But just another dominant start from McClanahan. But the name I really wanted to talk about was Tony Gonsolin. You know, I've always been a Tony Gonsolin guy, and he's always, you know, shown flashes here and there, but never could like put it all together, whether it was, you know, the walk rate spiked or he just wasn't getting a chance with the Dodgers, whatever it may be, and a couple of injuries here and there as well. So I always just couldn't put it together to show like what he really was capable of for a long period of time. But this year, it's all come together. 14 starts, 156 ERA, 0.81 whip. Both of those rank among the top in the National League. He's 9-0. I know that doesn't matter, but 9-0 is pretty cool to look at as well. But still, he's not getting nearly as much love as I think he should, because all the other big names, everyone's talking about Walker Buehler's struggles in the injury, and obviously there's Clayton Kershaw and Julio Urias. It's like all these other bigger names. He's just kind of flying under the radar and just doing his thing. Like, you know, he's got 5.8% barrel rate allowed. That's pretty solid. Hard hit rate is down to 28.1%, which is in the top 6% of baseball. Walk rate is down to 8.1% after spiking to 14.2 last year. That's very encouraging. 8.1, you can definitely live with that. I will take that all damn day. K rate, it's, you know, a little above league average, 24.7%. That's good, not great. But then again, you look, add that to the ratios, and I think a lot of this is legit. You look, the four-seamer is, you know, it's meh, it's 250 batting average against, 513 slug, you know, not terrible, not great either. But look at the three secondaries, a splitter, slider, and curveball. All have a batting average against under 150. Two of them have a slug under 175. The curveball is at 268 or 286, excuse me. And I'll have a WOBA under 185 and a whiff rate above 30%. He can miss bats with all three. He uses them to both sides. Yeah, a little bit more curveballs to lefties and sliders to righties, but he can miss bats with all three. He's made a lot of tangible improvements this year. Ground ball rate's up, which has always been an issue, having a lower ground ball rate. Fly ball rate's down, and that's another positive there. He's missing, you know, solid enough whiff rate and chase rate. I'm really on board. I think he's still underrated and a great value buy right now, even with how good he's been doing. So I think he's still just flying under the radar because he's not that big name out there in LA. So I am definitely all in on this Tony Gonsolin resurgence here in 2022.
Yeah, and he pitched another good game tonight. I mean, he did allow one earned over 5 2/3, I think it was. 5 2/3, one earned, yeah. 5 Ks. And, you know, the CSW was a little underwhelming, but overall, I mean, you still get the job done. And you have those games where you don't have it and you have to grind. And he did that exactly and just grinded and got the job done. 9 swings and misses. And it doesn't pair to Spencer Strider's 16 swing and misses, but still, Gonsolin's been highly impressive. Will he get his first loss tonight? It's if the Braves hold on, it would be his first loss, which would be pretty wild.
What's the score right now?
It's 1-0 in the bottom seven, so it's possible. Okay. You know, anything's possible, but especially with the Braves bullpen, with the waste pen, I'm not ready to count this a win, a one-run game with the Dodgers. But
man, I was kind of spacing because I've been moving all day and I've just been super busy. I should have realized a Strider versus Gonsolin. That's a pretty damn good matchup.
Yeah. Yep. So it's I agree. I think Gonsolin's been. Is stays underrated, and I think he's a good pitcher to go out and acquire. Where did you put him in your rankings?
Where did I put Togo here? I'm trying to get that name to stick here. Togo, I put 156, and I should have put him up higher, and I'm going to put him up higher. Like, I could see him, assuming nothing bad happens the next month or so, I could see him being... scrolling up here, 120, 110 in that range. Guys in that range, I got like Luis Garcia's in that range, Robbie Ray, Hunter Green, Espino. I think he could definitely get in that range. I think that's definitely warranted. I don't think I went high enough on him. I fully admit that.
Yeah, I've got him at 151. That's
We're pretty damn close.
Yeah, I'm kind of struggling with where to put him, but I think you could definitely argue he could be higher. So.
Yeah, same here. All right, real quick before we get out of here, this just because he had that great performance yesterday. Christian Javier, obviously has been pretty damn good since moving into the rotation. Overall this year, he's made 10 starts, 4 relief appearances, total of 62 and two-thirds innings, 2.73 ERA, 1.05 WHIP, 9.4% walk rate, and a 31.8% strikeout rate. He's got the good little four-pitch mix there, four-seamers, which is a very good four-seam fastball, slider. The curveball does get hit a good amount. Curveball and changeup are not great. So that's the red flag, but he only uses them a combined 11% of the time. Four-seam and slider rank, it's 89% of the time there. Both of those are very good offerings. So a lot of intrigue there. What a bat-missing ability, but how does the arsenal, how do those the third and fourth offerings, curve and changeup, which he literally never uses against righties. Only 8 times on the curveball against righties, 0 on the changeup. So where are you at on Javier, Chris? Because like I said, there's a lot of good in the profile, but some red flags. Does he stick as a starter? So a lot to kind of digest there. So where are you at on Javier?
I'm very similar rank to Gonsolin. I have him at 153. I certainly hope he gets the chance to continue to be a starter. He's excelled as a starter. And while there's some warning flags, he just continues to produce and can't really argue with what he's done and the results. You mentioned the pitch mix. He's like Strider, where he's, pretty much a four-seam slider guy. And you mix in a curve and a change that are 10% total. But, he still makes it work. Like, he's a spin master on that curveball. Ridiculous amount of spin that he gets. But the results are there, and he doesn't need the other two pitches to get the job done. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'm kind of curious, one of his pitchers that pops up on similar based on velo and movement was Freddy Peralta from last year.
That's pretty good.
So I like that comp in comparison to an extent. And there may be some regression, but I still think Javier can be a really solid starter. So another one like Gonsolin, who I think you can go out and get pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's some of those are kind of funny too. Another one is 2020 Justin Dunn, which just doesn't inspire much confidence there. But 2021 Freddy Peralta absolutely does. I've always kind of found that funny. Where sometimes it's a lot of similar guys, but then it's like, how does Freddy Peralta from last year and Justin Dunn get in the same grouping? It's kind of odd. But I definitely like Javier too. I actually have him a little bit ahead of Gonsolin just because of the higher strikeout ability. I have Javier 146 to 156 for Gonsolin. So I think they both can move up. I just hope they don't bump him back to the pen when, Jigwood or Rizzi's ready or something like that. That's always kind of in the back of my mind. Hopefully not. I think he's pitched well enough to stick. Maybe they move Oda Rizzi to the pen. Who knows? But all right, that's going to wrap us up, though. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04, and our show's at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantasy Pros, Fantrax HQ, or over on our Patreon, of course. And join us again next time for more Dynasty Prospect and a Fantasy Baseball Talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.